Hi, we're Angie and Annalie, and this is Brain Basement, a podcast where two friends who used to do yoga together in a basement now chat about chaos and wellness. As moms, we understand chaos. As expats, we get what that chaos looks like when you take it overseas.
From Manila to San Jose, we share stories of living abroad and explore topics around mental and emotional well-being. This podcast is for expat moms who want to find wellness amidst the chaos of everyday life.
We get what that chaos looks like when you... It said looks like.
Okay. What do you do? Welcome to Brain Basement. We're so glad you're here.
Oh, welcome back to Brain Basement with Annalie and Angie. We are so glad you're here today. We are going to be talking about stress or rest. How much of your day do you spend in stress and how much is actual rest? Not just laying there trying to think, I'm relaxing, I need to relax, because that's more stress. And before we start talking, let's take a moment to check in, which is really what it's all about. So, as going along with what we're going to talk about, finding a moment of being here now, being present. So, taking a time to check in with your breath. Notice how your breath is moving through your body. And if you want to notice the sensations happening within your muscles, check in with your shoulders, the strength in your spine, and kind of even explore how do your knees feel right now? How do your hands feel right now? And how does your breath feel right now? Thinking about the muscles in your face and whether your eyes are open or closed right now. Maybe paying attention to where you are in this moment in time, what you are surrounded by, the space that you are in, and the things that you can feel. The sounds that you can hear. And just noticing where you're at, just for 1 or 2 minutes, spending this time in being exactly where you are and recognizing that. Maybe thoughts are going through your mind, noticing what those thoughts are saying. And remembering that our thoughts are just thoughts. They are not necessarily true. While you're being here in this moment. And then filling up with gratitude for taking this time to check in as you bring yourself back into listening and connection with your friends, Angie and Annalie, all four of you out there joining us for a discussion. Hey. So great. Talking about rest and stress, rest or stress.
Yeah. I keep wanting them to rhyme. Like every time I say rest and stress, I'm like, it's going to rhyme.
Yeah. I think that too. Like I'm saying stress with a T on the end of it to make it rhyme.
Oh yeah, that works too.
I think so. I was thinking about this in terms of, I think I heard it in a book, and I was thinking about it in terms of how much of our time do we spend in stress mode, because most of us are not in a world of dire circumstances at this time. While we are in a pandemic, most of us do have a house, we do have food, we do have probably a car and access to transportation, and you know, things are provided for us, and we have created pretty stable life at this point. So if we are not in like a fight, flight, dire situation on a daily basis, how often are we still creating that stress response inside of us, which sometimes comes out from a real stress, like a kid getting hurt on a trampoline, or, you know, things that happen in our daily lives, and how much of it is caused by things that maybe don't need a fight or flight response, like the school PTA meeting or the kids, you know, winter performance, like recital might not need the same response we would have to a saber-toothed tiger. But some, I think that in talking to people, right, some of us wake up with a sense of dread and panic and could even live your day like 80 or 95% in, I have to get this done, and I've got to get this for the winter recital, and I have to make sure my kid does this, and I have to pick up these things in stress. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought you were implying that the fight or flight mode is engaged and activated during the PTA meeting.
No, I am. That's what I, right? Like if someone could respond to the PTA meeting as like, yes, okay, cool, no problem. But I think a lot of people, even if I show up there as okay, no problem, are kind of buzzing around as if like, we haven't organized for the vendors at the fair. And it feels like a stress trigger.
I mean, it does. It totally resonates with me. That's why when you said it, I was like, yes. I mean, that's my response a lot of times. I know it's so interesting, and like how much of this is going on completely under our awareness. Mm-hmm. I think so much of the time for me. And then I wonder at the end of the day or the end of the week or the end of the month, like, why am I not feeling good? And it just felt like a normal month or like a normal week, a normal day. But this stress has an effect on our bodies. And if I'm not checking in with myself and looking at those moments of stress versus rest, or being more deliberate about inviting in more rest, then it certainly has its way with me. Mm-hmm. Very naturally. We have stressors, like that's life. There's nothing we can do about a lot of our stressors.
Yes. And like you just said the word normal. So I think this is interesting too. Like, what do we define as normal? Because I think now we kind of do define it as normal to talk to someone and they say, oh, I have to go get this done, and I've just been really busy this week, and I have to make sure this is happening, and we're planning this travel time, and they didn't have these items that I need, and I don't know if the mail's gonna come in time. So it's like stress has become normal. Mm-hmm. And I think if I met someone who was like, oh, nothing, I've just been relaxing and knitting and watching Netflix today, we would think that's weird. That's abnormal.
It would be like, oh, are you sick? Or what happened?
What is the matter with your life?
Wait, you sat half the day? What's going on? I know. The other day we've had a bug in our family going around, and the kids have all been sick. And I felt like I got a little bit of it the other day. It just put me down flat in bed. And I remember thinking, why do I have to wait around for a virus to do this to me versus just inviting myself to have a day of rest that with no judgment attached and nothing's wrong. I just am inviting in a way for me to respond to the stress in my life, like complete that stress cycle. I was thinking about this topic. I mentioned this to you earlier, a friend of mine, we were chatting, all of her kids are now in school. So she's had babies for years and years and years at home. And she just kind of, her last just barely graduated onto school. And she was telling me that she's so used to living in this frantic mode of putting out fires and responding to chaos. And speaking of normal, like that was her norm. Just every day you wake up and you just fight the good fight, and it's stressful and all consuming and chaotic. And that becomes normal to our brains. It becomes normal to our nervous systems. It's familiar. And here she is with all this just quiet extra time on her hand. And she's saying to me, I don't know what to do with myself. This is so unfamiliar. It's actually really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I am not comfortable resting because my inside and outside is so used to just going on hyper chaotic mode that what do I do with myself now? And she felt almost guilty that she had to stay in this mode of fight or flight, you know, not constant fight or flight, but really that, the best way I can put it is that putting out fires mode, mm-hmm. that somehow she still needed to maintain that. And, but she really wanted to give herself permission to explore rest and what does this new stage look like for her, and be able to open up to it. And I totally resonated with that. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah. I've experienced that myself, and recently just having the kids homeschool for so many years and now having no kids home, where it does feel like what is wrong, and this is uncomfortable, not feeling fully busy all the time. And that's what it is, right? Our brains build these neural pathways, like we are operating on patterns. So we get used to it, right? The endorphins and the action and the activity somehow feels right to our system, even though it's hard on our system. And suddenly rest feels uncomfortable. There was this study mentioned that they sent a bunch of older men to a monastery and decorated everything in like mid-century, like their 20s. So all the men were told to live for 1 week and act as if they were their younger selves. And the music was the same, and they had old copies of Ladies' Home Journal and Time Magazine. And all of the men, when they were released after 1 week, tested so drastically differently in like their, it was some kind of, in the way that their brain was operating. And then strangers were shown photos taken before and after, and the strangers would choose the after picture as being their younger, you know, 3 years ago self or something. And I thought that that scientific experiment really speaks to how ingrained we can become in our neuropathways, in the way that we're using our brain and thinking about ourselves as this is how I am. I'm stressed out. I'm busy. I'm active, you know, I'm getting things done. And it's kind of a value in our culture, right? To be busy. We don't want to be a sloth or sitting around. That's not earning a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm. It's huge. I think, like busyness and productivity equal worth, mm-hmm. and value, which even saying those words out loud, just kind of part of me wants to just shed a few tears over that, because it's so sad, because it's very, very true. And it's that instinct when you're talking with a friend, like, how are you doing? how often is the response like, oh, I'm just so busy, and you know, naming off all these to-dos.
Right.
And there's it's not just this figment of our imagination, like we're referring to, there's stuff going on in our bodies. Like I think of the nervous system, like the two parts of the autonomic nervous system. This part is so fascinating to me. Like there's the sympathetic nervous system that's in charge of fight or flight. And then there's the parasympathetic nervous system, which is in charge of rest and digest. And in the book, Burnout, The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle by the Nagowski sisters, they talk about the importance of finishing the stress cycle. So it's very normal for things to happen to us, stressors to impact us. Our sympathetic nervous system responds in a really important way to alert to us that something needs to be done or we're not safe, something needs to be fixed. But the fact is that we have to then transition out of that sympathetic nervous system back into parasympathetic. And that's what they mean by finishing the stress cycle, that we're meant to live more time in a state of rest and digest, that the parasympathetic nervous system should be activated more than the sympathetic nervous system. And then they talk about all the ways that we can do this that are evidence-based, which I find are really interesting because some of them are not that hard. Like they talk about laughter and crying, that both of those are able to move us out of this fight or flight mode. Physical affection said, you know, when we're physical, not just with our partners, but with people in general, when we're touching, the hormone oxytocin is released, which signals to the body that we're safe, and literally our heart rate slows and tells us that we're okay and that everything's going to be okay. They talked about physical activity, which I feel like is more one that I would be like, oh yeah, exercise, because that's always on like the list of everything. But then they also said creativity, which I love, like go out and make something, do something, and then deep breathing are all evidence-based ways to complete the stress cycle.
Yeah. I mean, that makes so much sense to me. And especially exercise is something that's, it's so widely popular. It's not, it doesn't have any woo-woo attachment the way meditation or, right? It's just like move your body. And why would that have any impact on what you're thinking? If we're thinking of it as two different things, the brain and the body, you should still be able to just feel miserable and go for a walk. And I'm sure you can, but it's now, I just think more and more where science is recognizing that just swinging your arms and going for a walk somehow lightens your sense of sadness or despair or whatever you started with. And it doesn't, this morning, today, our power was out in our apartment. So this, to me, in cold winter Ukraine, and it was rainy out, and I had to go out, and I put on my big long coat and my boots, and I got my umbrella, and we were walking out, and it was pretty gray, and there were puddles, and everything looks kind of mucky and dark, and I just thought, okay, I'm really grateful for my cozy warm coat. I'm really grateful I have the umbrella right now. And that wasn't a natural response. I didn't just wake up full of joy and like, I'll walk out the door and like, yay, I feel so sunny. But I'm just deliberately directing myself, not coming from a place of like natural, oh, I just feel so wonderful, but I'm deliberately telling my brain, I'm just going to list quietly the things I'm grateful for right now as I walk. And I implement those little tools, and who knows if it makes anything better. Like, how can I prove that I would have been in a worse mood had I not done that? But it feels lighter. I'm willing to deliberately bring these kinds of breathing or check in with myself or creativity. I'm willing to try these things.
Yeah, I like to think of them kind of almost like an experiment sometimes. If I feel myself a little bit extra wound up or my thoughts are racing, or, you know, my breath is super shallow, and I just check in with myself briefly and think, yeah, I'm experiencing stress right now. I like to, because I don't always respond in a way where, you know, bringing up one of these tools that are in our toolboxes that we already know about, but I'm not always on the ready to use those. But when I am, sometimes it's like, I'm just going to see, you know, I just want to test this and see if it actually works, and turn on some music and have a little dance session in the kitchen with the kids. And it's fun to kind of like test it out, because it actually does have an impact. Mm-hmm. Like the movement, the changing my breath from shallow to deep breaths, you know, it doesn't mean that it takes it away, but all the time, but it definitely, like, there's a reason that it's, there's science that backs these things up.
Right. It is effective. I had one day the other day where I wrote in my journal, it was all kind of like, I was just in a really like, woe is me, bummed out, kind of exhausted, space. And I was writing in my journal. And then later that day, I think I was trying to only listen to positive things. So I had, you know, either podcasts or movies, or because I had been reading a really heavy, dark book about a pandemic. And then I did a couple things, productive things, and I couldn't believe that how much my mood had changed. And I was just, by the end of the day, feeling like really empowered and accomplished, and like things are working and moving for me, like thinking about from the morning, just that paying attention to checking in with where am I, how am I feeling right now while I'm journaling, and then how was I feeling later. It was kind of surprising to me that I could go from one end of the spectrum to the other.
It's amazing because when you're kind of headed down that track of negativity and that downward spiral, I often think, okay, this is how the rest of my day is going to go. It's so easy for my brain to just think, I don't really have a part to play in this. I don't have any control. But then you try on some of these methods and exercises, and it's amazing that you can feel 180 difference at the end of the day versus the first,
yes. You know, yeah, I think if someone had asked me that morning while I was journaling, I'm like, this is like the beginning of a slump. This is going to be like a winter slump, or, you know, a low period or something. And it wasn't even there for more than 4 hours.
Yeah. So I think it's so awesome that you brought up the your power being out, even though that really sucks. But I think it speaks to the unique challenges that we have living overseas. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you texted me and said, oh, my power is supposed to be out the next 2 days, it was like, oh, it's just a normal Wednesday in Kyiv, right? And this morning I woke up and was helping the kids out the door, and I got a sweatshirt off our rack for my kid, and a cockroach fell out of the sweatshirt and like landed on my hand, and, you know, immediate fight or flight was engaged. And I just think, like, you know, sometimes the power goes out when we're living at home in the United States. Never do I have a cockroach fall out of a hoodie and land on my body. But like, there are, I think this topic is really relevant to the unique set of circumstances that we face living overseas. And it got me thinking of situations where I just feel unsafe. And I can think every place we've lived, there's been some underlying threat that has just lived in me that whole time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in the Philippines, I was always worried about natural disasters. It's a real threat there. Like, pick one, you know, you're on the ring of fire, anything can happen. You know, in Ukraine, when I was living there, there was a war going on. It's still going on. Yeah. There were constant raids and rallies around our house, which would prevent me from being able to get home sometimes with my car full of kids. You know, just name, there's just really specific things. And I think is, am I living more in a stressed state? Is my sympathetic nervous system more engaged when I'm living overseas, generally speaking, than when I visit the United States or live in a place that's more familiar to me?
Oh, that's interesting. I was thinking of it in terms of our overseas life too, but more along the lines of our brains like patterns. And so we like to stay in this state of whatever is known to us, how feeling busy feels more comfortable than feeling relaxed. And so if we are always changing our circumstances, you know, like and our mind likes to stay in the same pattern, I'm sure we're still just carrying around, or probably we're triggering in the like, I have to move. So I have to plan everything and organize everything because I'm not going to be here forever. And I have to sort through my things and I have to set up my kids and get my family ready. And then we just kind of maintain that even while we're settled for 2 years or 3 years, we stay in the, I'm moving all the time, so I have to plan for the next thing. And we stay in that heightened kind of sensation all the time. And are there people that don't do that? I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it makes me wonder, like, is it a more stressful life course, mm-hmm. you know, living overseas life where we're moving all the time, than someone that just stays in one place all the time and change is minimal? I don't, everyone experiences stress. I know that.
Or the other way it could play out is that it gives us the opportunity all the time to change and create new patterns. Whereas if you were stuck in the same situation, it would probably be harder to think about like, oh, I'm just changing myself, or I'm going to change my habits or my patterns without having a fresh start on anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's easy for people working the same job for 20 years or in the same space to get caught up in those patterns of feeling that their life is on a daily cycle of stress too.
Absolutely. And as stressful as this constant moving is, it does naturally have this element of a fresh start. It kind of forces you into that mode of, well, we have to think about this differently and we have to do this differently because where we were living before, that pattern doesn't work anymore.
Right.
And that can be a really positive thing, but also super stressful because it's requiring more energy.
Yes. Yeah, and our brain is like resistant to that, right? Everything is, we want to just stay in homeostasis of like safety, security, known, familiar routine. And
yeah,
we're testing that all the time.
Yeah. And as normal as stress is, like quote unquote, it's a doozy. Like I want to say this last summer, you know, we're still in pandemic mode and we were moving overseas. So are you. And I don't even know if my body had quite recovered from leaving Azerbaijan early and kind of processing the pandemic and having kids at home all the time that whole year, and then put on another move. And I remember last summer, you know, with family and things were just a little bit more bumpy. Like I just didn't feel as, I wasn't in a place of where I could cope as much as and roll with the punches and just be more like emotionally and mentally flexible. I felt like I was triggered a lot easier. And looking, I remember thinking at the time, like, why can I not handle this? Like, what is going on? And why is no part of this feels good or fun right now? I just need to get to where we're going. And as I've reflected over though that period of life, I really, for me, I feel like it comes down to stress. Like I was so stressed that it impacted all these parts of my life that I normally felt like I could have more control over. And I wasn't showing up. I didn't recognize myself. I felt like I wasn't being myself. And I think it was a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think stress can affect us like in major ways. So this is, I don't want to launch into a whole new topic before, while we're wrapping up, but I've also been thinking about how do we define trauma? And mm-hmm. this is mentioned in that book, Do the Work, is we define trauma normally as something catastrophic, right? There are like things that we can define as trauma, but then most of us, I think most people have grown up with not a perfect life. So we are still carrying patterns that our parents have given us. And I had so many mixed feelings about this because listening to these ideas as a parent myself, it's like we could, you know, hurt one of our children by saying like, oh, you didn't do that well on that test, try better next time or something, you know. But if they've heard that 10 times, they might start thinking I'm not good at math, or I don't know what kinds of examples. But as a kid, you grow up and you do remember things people have said to you, or someone not being loving towards you, or not having been taught unconditional love and values and all the, you know, perfect childhood things. And not that you're carrying trauma, but you are carrying those experiences. And where does the line that we define it as trauma that is affecting us now, or just things that have we've dealt with that are affecting us now? And something that you said had brought had brought this to mind, and now I can't think of it. But, oh, I know, it was your recognizing that that stress that you were holding on to is affecting everything, right? And these things that we carry with us, they are affecting us, and it is causing us to have anxiety or less sleep or knots in our stomach and indigestion and tight shoulders, that's causing, you know, a neck ache, which makes you, I don't know, all the things, one thing leads to another. Sorry.
And it can definitely like turn into trauma. I feel like stress and trauma are on, they're like brothers, mm-hmm. you know? And I think stress taken to a certain level, or the sympathetic nervous system being activated, overly activated or prolonged for long periods of time, a lot of times that can look like trauma.
Right. And then, or trigger a panic attack, which then you are in the hospital and now this is a traumatizing experience and your family's worried about you and you're in an ambulance and, you know, undergoing tests, and now your body has, the trauma has caught up to you, so that now there is serious trauma happening in your life. Yeah.
That's why it feels so important to look at this, because at the end of the summer and during this whole like reflection stage, when I was able to just give it a name and say, you know what, I think that was just a ton of stress. Like there was something that felt better about that. Like, okay, I've checked in with myself. You know, maybe my heart wasn't failing me, or my mind wasn't as crazy as I thought it was in the minute. It was just that I was overloaded with more things than anyone is, you know, healthily could handle at any one time. And giving that a name before it turning into something traumatic is, in my book, really important. Like if I can spare myself that extra step, or spare my family, you know, a situation where it's not looked at, then that can get really troubling.
Right. So. Because I like what you're saying. As soon as you recognize it's stress, it also feels like valid and valuable. You're not like, oh, I was just being dramatic, or, you know, I was like, something was wrong with me, and that's why I had that terrible year, or I should have been more productive, or, you know, whatever the things that we can think. But if you say, I was under a ton of stress, it affected me, and the world was falling apart. So I'm allowed to be under stress. You know, it makes sense that I would be experiencing stress when my whole family evacuated from our home with four small children. It's like a sigh of relief almost. Like, okay, that was stress. We went through that. No, we're not in that same state right now.
Yeah, and recognizing like the common humanity in it too. Like, I'm not alone in this. Mm-hmm. And Angie was stressed too, you know, not that I want Angie to be stressed, but like, it feels validating that like, I'm not the only one that reacts this way when I'm under a lot of stress. Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, it just feels so good when we're in it together. We know what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So more on creating that circle too of understanding and community of connection and understanding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like this podcast or like talking with a friend has the potential of finishing this stress cycle. So more of that.
Yes.
More finishing the stress cycle together.
Right? Let's take deep breaths together, check in for a moment, and then be real about what's happening.
Right.
And train ourselves to get comfortable with some rest time.
I know. Rewire those neural pathways and engage the parasympathetic nervous system a little bit more. I am all in favor of that.
I'm on board for that for sure. All right. Sounds good. Anything else? Any last thoughts to wrap up?
No, I think that's it for me today. What about you?
No, we're all in our parasympathetic state. Oh, wait, which one? Yeah.
I'm not. Yes, para.
Okay.
As in peace. That's how I remembered it. Is peace starts with P and so does parasympathetic nervous.
Oh, I was thinking, I was picturing a parachute. Like I'm in safety now. I'm like
free
from Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that one.
We're in our peace parachute now, all of you. All right. Talk to you next week.
See ya.